Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Mastering Mindfulness Institute podcast. Today, we're going to go talk deep about doing hard things, discipline, having consistency, and the power of that. And you might be like, wait a second, you don't talk a whole lot about like strength and hard things, because some of you know that I've talked about my relationship to going from this place of discipline and how that actually for me was a kind of an abusive relationship to myself that kept me in this trapped cycle. And then I swung the other way of this very like soft and gently and self-love, sweet, listening to honor my body, which has been really beautiful. And now I've actually been in a phase of my life where I'm trying to find the most expansion by bringing those two things together of where can I push myself and do it in a way that brings in the mindfulness piece. And so today I am not only here just to share a great topic with you guys, but selfishly to learn from myself. And I couldn't think of anybody better than an expert. His name is Kelly Siegel. He's incredible. He published a book called Harder Than Life. He's a speaker, an author, a podcast, and podcaster. And what's so beautiful is that he has this passion and this drive to teach and to inspire people. And all of the proceeds from his speaking and his books go to charity, which is so beautiful. And when you just see him, you'll be so inspired by his strength, his discipline, his inspiration. He's actually the CEO of a tech company, which is really interesting. Has a background in criminal justice, sociology, from my home state, Western Michigan University. He went to school, and you guys know I'm always a Michigan girl at heart. But he has this really beautiful story on this relentless drive to actually break family cycles of abuse, addiction, and poverty. And there's just so much courage. And he brings in this discipline and strength around physical health, emotional health, but also brings in mindfulness practices. So I can't wait to dive into an amazing conversation. Kelly, thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to have this deep dive with you today.
Wow, Gina, I got to tell you, everything happens for a reason. I just came across you on social media and here we are. And I just, life is wonderful when you allow it to be.
Yeah, I know. That's actually an interesting word, allowing, when you allow it to be. Why do you think we don't allow it to be? Why are we fighting life to be so amazing?
Well, it's the comfortable normal versus the uncomfortable abnormal, or what is the word I'm trying to say? It's the road less traveled. It's faith, having faith versus fear. And knowing that there is a better way of life, and the better way of life is being mindful and taking care of yourself and what they call making the hard, you know, and I did the air quotes, hard choices, which really aren't that hard. It's just to get started. When the pain of what you're currently doing outweighs the pain of change, you change. And that's literally what I did 4 years ago. And there had to be a better way of life. And I was right. There is.
Yeah. Why do you, you know, I love that you actually said that it's just the road less traveled, because I think when a lot of people find themselves here at this podcast, they're actually kind of at that crossroads and they're at this place where I'm like, what I know, it feels safe. And my mind is actually just keeping me in this place of safety versus this road that's less traveled, which is can be really scary, and how many years they spend thinking about taking that new road, but they don't take action.
Well, I heard something yesterday, and I don't know where I heard it, but maybe I read it, but if you had 1 week to live, what would you do? And the answer is, you know, you wouldn't drink and drug and eat and do, you would, I don't understand why we treat our bodies the way we do. And it's that proverbial hamster wheel. Yeah. So we're on this wheel, and we to jump off, it's not that hard. It's to make the choice that I just want something different in life and not being available. What would you say no to today so you can say yes to anything you want later in life? Mm-hmm. And that's literally for my cycle. And I was tremendously successful before I made all these major changes, successful financially. I didn't love the person in the mirror, and every picture I saw of myself, my skin was blotchy. I was always puffy. And I'd wake up in the morning and I'd have to apologize for my crazy behavior. But everybody said, oh, Kelly's got a big heart. He's fine. So I just said, something's got to change. And I just made the tough choice, a choice of just saying, hey, I'm not going to indulge in alcohol or drugs anymore. And by making that choice, I unlocked a lot of awareness of emotions that I didn't know was going on. So my circle, my hamster wheel was being angry at my parents for not loving me and then drinking and drugging to numb the emotions and just staying on that hamster wheel and not realizing that, oh my God, if I just spend the time in my feelings for a second, I can forgive my parents for doing the best that they knew how to do. Mm-hmm. And I can start living my life and stop fighting something that really is made up in your own mind. My parents love me. They love me. It's just, they didn't do the few things that I needed a little bit more. And it turns out I can get it from myself. You're mindful. You get it. You could, once you, they overused love yourself, and that loving yourself is a lot of difficult things. It's saying no, it's not being available for a lot of things. It's self-care is not selfish. It's putting yourself first. They say on an airplane, put your mask on before you help anybody else, because you're no good to anybody dead. So it's creating daily habits and rituals and consistency of choices that create the outcomes that you want in life. It's literally that simple.
So I definitely want to go a little bit deeper into how you had these awarenesses and how this came about for you in your story. Before we do, what does that discipline look like in your life now? How are you living your life now? What does that consistency and discipline mean or look like for you?
You know, the people that I just, my marketing team just asked me to film a day in the life of me.
Oh,
and
cool.
As I filmed it and I looked at it, I go, holy goodness. Because I have people that are close to me that go, you're like not normal. You're an alien. And to me, it's normal. This is the new normal for me. I get up about 4:15 to 4:20, maybe 4:30 every morning. And I snap out of bed. And I literally start my gratitude right away. And it doesn't have to be anything major, just the bed I'm sleeping in, my daughter sleeping in the next room, the fact that I'm awake, that I have heat, just silly little things. And then every once in a while, it'll be bigger things. I close a big deal. I help somebody out. I got a nice text from somebody saying they're inspiring. Just starting my day gratitude. And then I bounce out of there and I go into the bathroom and I get some water and I do a couple of minutes of mirror work where you just, you know, high five the mirror. I learned that from Mel Robbins and say, you know, I love you. You matter. And then I sit down and I journal for a little bit about my intentions for the day, what I'm feeling, get it out of my mind, shoot over to the couch in my bedroom. And I do a quick 10 minute daily calm meditation, guided meditation, boom, workout gears on, 5 o'clock, I'm at the gym. I go to the gym, I dispense justice. I don't get cheated. I am there to lift heavy weights and build my mind and my body. And while I'm there, I'm listening to a podcast, which I'm so excited to be on yours. I'm going to start listening to yours because it's just, I looked at the titles. I'm so excited. And I have a regulars, you know, the Ed Milets, the John Gordons, no relation, but Craig Siegels. Now I'm going to add you. I find women more fascinating. Y'all are smarter than us in every respect.
We're different.
I think the feminine is just, it's what men, it's probably what took me so long to make this change was it wasn't cool to be vulnerable as a man. It wasn't cool to show your emotions. Now you'll hear me say and do things that I would never have done. And it's brought me to a better father, a better leader at my company. Everything got better when I just said, I'm going to speak the truth, not my truth, the truth. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm. So fast forward through my workout, I get home. I get my daughter up for school. I shower. She showers. We have breakfast together. We talk about her intentions, what she's going to do to be awesome. I apologize to her that she's my daughter and that she's going to listen to me all the time. I am fortunate enough. I get to drive her to school and I go off to my national technology management office, work a full day. And I'm lucky enough that I get to get her from school at 3:34. we do homework, I read, and we make dinner together. We talk about her day, what's something that made her smile. And then we'll read a little bit more or go for a walk or do something together. And then we go to bed at a decent time because sleep is the most important thing to me. And then it's rinse, repeat. It is boring. But you know what? Since I've done this, I built a house in Florida on the water. I have a boat in Florida. I have just the riches financially, physically, emotionally. It just keep coming. So, hey, man, here's what I'd say to people. I partied with the best of them. If you read it in my book, Harder Than Life, I've been in Thailand, rocking it out all the way through. I've done it all. So if you have contrast, if you don't know what it's like to be a completely alcohol-free person or drug and alcohol-free person, you don't have contrast. I know what it's like to be a party animal. I know what it's like to be sober. I can do both. There ain't nobody going to stop me. If it was so much better, that lifestyle, I would have stayed there doing it. But the level of freedom and happiness and love that I have for myself and my daughter, my relationship with my daughter, she's 14. I've been doing this for 4 years. She's an assassin. She's a trained assassin. She's a killer.
Of course she's 14. She is.
All the kids are into boys and experimenting. Not my daughter. Nope.
So, that's great.
It's all paying off. So that's a day in the life of me. And it's every single day.
I really want to point out too, because I think a lot of people can miss this when we talk about routines and day things. Something that has been, I've been getting a lot of questions about is people asking, how do I love myself? And how do I just tap into that? And how do I just decide to love myself? And I think that when you connect with people like you who are see the value in loving themselves more than anything, how loving yourself will pour into everything else into your life, they actually carve out the space to do it. Like, they think of it as a relationship. And I realized a few years ago, I went through a huge process of understanding and discovering that achievement doesn't equal self-love. I was, I love myself because I'm motivated. I do this, I do that. And then I had this huge awakening realizing, wait a second, achievement isn't love. Those are conditions. And it completely broke my mind. And my mind was like, wait a second, if those things aren't self-love, what is self-love? And I went deep onto this journey of trying to answer that question. And what I realized was I had to give myself the space, the time and space to look at it as a whole new relationship that I had never connected with and created with before. And I had to actually carve out the time, just like you're doing, to say, I could just sleep in and go about my life, or I could make the first few hours of my morning the most important thing that is a non-negotiable. So I just want to say that it is so beautiful that you are so dedicated to cultivating that self-love. And I think it can be inspiring for people who are on their self-love journey, that it's not necessarily a mental decision, but it's a dedication to a relationship that you're like, I'm going to get to know you. I'm going to journal. I'm going to have gratitude. I'm going to speak to you in the mirror. I'm going to spend time with you. Like, just beautiful.
To love yourself is a daily intention. You don't just turn a switch on and all of a sudden start loving yourself. It is probably the hardest thing to do. And you'll know when you don't react to things the way that you used to, and you don't get triggered the way you used to, and you let things just roll off. And there's two books that I read very early on. It was Jen Sincero's You Are a Badass. And I forget the other one. It was Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It, because it does. Mm-hmm. Those two books, and the way things happen is the same way I met you. They just somehow just ended up on my bookshelf, and I read them. But I liken it, all this, to like showers. The reason why you shower every day is because they work. So you need to do this daily work to love yourself. It's intentional, and you continue to do it. That's why I work out 7 days a week, because it works and I like it. It feels good. So I will tell you one more little trick. So in my meditation, I say, I love myself. Thank you. And I think I picked that up from the Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It. I think that's where I got it from.
Okay.
So I remind myself daily, So it's constant work in progress.
It's consistency. Yeah. I think it also reduces that decision fatigue when you just make it a part of your life. That's what I realized was before I kind of went in back and forth between this, like, I'll do it when it's calling to me in my body and I'll give myself that grace. But then on the other hand, it's like, actually, when you do get the consistency, it reduces that decision fatigue of, am I going to do it today? Yes or no, every single day. So I'm sure that gets a lot easier. So
that's what the routine is good for, Gina, yeah. Because I don't have to think about it. You know, am I going to go to the gym today? There's no negotiating with myself. That routine is bare bones minimum. And more than likely, I'm doing more than that. So yeah. I, you know, depending on my work, no matter how I feel, no matter how, if I'm sick, no matter if it's raining and snowing, you know, we're in Michigan. So it doesn't matter if it's a travel day because I have a home in Florida and I go back and forth. It is non-freaking negotiable for me. I get up and I do that every day and I bring justice and I don't cheat myself. I'm impeccable with my word to myself. Another book that I love, Four Agreements. I keep my word to everybody else, but I really keep my word to myself. If I say something's going to happen, bam, it's going to happen. All too often, people give up on themselves so quickly and then talk to themselves so poorly. Not me. If you wouldn't say that to your friend, why would you say it to yourself?
Yeah. I really think you're going to like when you break that and you break the ice on the cold plunge and do it. Like, I think the cold plunge was the first healing piece for me to get back into doing hard things, that it really helped me control my mind around what is suffering and what's my perception of suffering, which is actually kind of what we led with here today, is that's the hardest part, is getting over that perception that we're suffering by challenging ourselves. And it's helping me realize that my soul is here to grow and to do hard things. So I love that you brought up the cold plunge. I think that it's totally your jam. I think you're going to love it. It was one of the first things that helped me realize, oh, this suffering is my mind, and to control those thoughts in my mind. And I don't know if that's something you feel like you have to do as part of your discipline, or if it's just, you just make a decision.
Well, I will. First of all, I take cold showers a lot. So
okay. You're already doing it.
I suffered. You can see I got a little choked up. I suffered way too much as a child. I was scared every single day for my life. My parents were physically and emotionally abusive. Mm-hmm. It's in the book. They made me do horrendous things. They treated me like horrible. And so I'm not scared anymore. That's why I'm a big guy. It's why I work out, because the abuse that I took at the hands of my mother, physical abuse of my mother and my stepfather, was just too much. It was too much for anybody to endure. So I've done hard things. That's why it's called Harder Than Life. I have nothing to prove to anybody, but I'm my harshest critic. So I want to continue to do hard things, and I want the cycle to break with me, so my daughter will never have to deal with what I had to deal with. And then I want to create awareness for people to realize that if you're going through hard things in your life, you're not alone. Because all too often you see some amazing people committing suicide because they feel like they're alone. They feel like there's the only option that they have. So my people think that I should be, I've been told I should be dead or in jail, which is majority of my high school friends. And I beat it. I'm playing with house money. So I've done, my entire life was hard. I'm tired of doing hard things, but I still do them. Hard to me is not hard. That's when most people give up is where I get started.
Well,
and that impossible only describes a degree of difficulty. I say that all the time. So you want to give me something hard, it ain't going to do. I got a newsflash for you. Figuring out where I was going to eat as a 10-year-old boy because there was no food in our house, and then worried about my dad, stepfather coming home and beating the shit out of me because he was drunk. Sorry about swearing. That was hard. You know, deciding to go to the gym in the morning or go to work today when I've got a sniffle, that's not hard to me. Providing for my daughter and making sure that she's loved unconditionally is not hard. Choosing to not numb myself with drugs and alcohol, not hard to me. So I'm sorry. I've done a lot of my hard stuff. So yeah. I will do the cold plunge just because for once in a while, I like to show people up. I'm not a peer pressure guy because I don't care. You can't make me do something I don't want to do. But I guess I just want to show people that I'll do anything.
Wow, that's really beautiful. I'd love to go back a little bit and talk about that time when you talk a lot about how you went through this phase of a lot of partying. And I know in your book, you talk about being in this raging party, I think in Thailand, on ecstasy and I might die. And I'm curious what that period of your life was like and how you actually crossed the bridge to where you are now, because I think hearing your discipline that you show up with right now, it's very easy to be like, you're just a disciplined guy. Like, this is just you. This is just your life. Your life is just easy. You have these behaviors. Oh. And so I'd love to rewind of like, what were things like then? How did you cross that bridge?
Well, people that are disciplined and consistent, they make it look easy. So thank you. Yeah. I take that as a compliment. And so I ran into a rival high school friend of mine at a boat poker run on Lake St. Clair. And he's like, are you still sober? I'm like, yes, I don't consider myself sober because I don't work a program. I just went cold turkey. I just choose not to drink. I don't want to knock AA. I think it's a great institution. People need it. It's saving lives, but I never used anything. I just went cold turkey. So I consider myself just a non-drinker. That's all. And I choose to feel my way through life. And so I think my friend said, he believes that God gives us only so many alcoholic drinks in their lifetime. And I drank all mine. So I'm trying to be funny, but at the end of the
day, closed.
I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. It just become too much energy. Really, truthfully, it was a math equation for me. It's just like 1 + 1 = 2 right now. And it's every single time there was an issue, alcohol was around. Now, it wasn't the reciprocal wasn't true. Every single time I drank, there wasn't trouble. But every time that there was trouble, there was drinking. I just got sick of it. And I kept meeting the wrong partner because I believe like attracts like. And it's just hard. So like now it's like impossible to meet somebody because I'm this alien and I really need to find a savage, someone that is just insane like me that just wants to take over the world and believe that they can. So
he's single, ladies. He's single. Just
thank you. I'm still working on me, you know. So it's just one of those things that I just want to get better and be better than the guy I was yesterday. So I'll tell you the story since you probably haven't heard it. I quit. I decided to stop drinking on New Year's Eve. Right at New Year's 1/1/1/1/19. So that's funny. That's 9/1/1 backwards. I was like, I didn't even realize that. And I was in Key West, Florida, and I cheers someone and put my drink down, and I just haven't went back. It wasn't easy. It wasn't simple. It really got hard about a year and a half later. And all I did was I said, I'm going to take 90 days off. And that's all I committed to, taking 90 days off. At day 91, I felt great. And I said, I'm going to do another 90. And at day 181, really was like 183. It was 4th of July. And you know, 4th of July in Michigan is fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. And I was on a boat with a bunch of people. And I said, and I'm looking around and everybody's drinking, everybody's drunk, and I'm driving the boat. And I stopped and I said, I don't belong here. This isn't why I got sober. This isn't why I decided to stop drinking. This isn't what I want to be. And that is the non-negotiable. That is saying no and being aware of saying no and not being available for crap.
Yeah.
And mid freaking pulling the boat out, my friend's like, I go, I don't belong here. I got to go. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And they're like, wait, we need a sober person to drive the boat. I go, I'm sorry. I can't be here. I leave.
Oh my gosh, I have goosebumps.
And wow. They took the boat out. The boat engine blew up. There was all kinds of drama. I went, man, talk about living right. And I tell you, the positive momentum that came from this decision and these daily habits that I have, it just creates winning, massive winning. And it just doesn't stop. I have been winning since the pandemic when Michigan shut down March 20th, 2020. So we're coming up on 3 years of just massive winning. Now, the lows are not, I operate in this mid range. There's never any lows. And I just live in this middle area where there's not, it's not really, really high. It's not really, really low, but the lows outweigh the best of the highs ever when you were drunk and drinking.
Yes. And that right there, like that is self-love. When people are like, what is self-love? It is stopping the boat and being like, yep, no one's going to be happy about this, but like I'm choosing my life. And I did the exact same thing in Michigan where I realized that everyone I was around was just working jobs they hated so they could go on boats and get drunk over the weekend. And I had one of those moments of like, this is not actually fulfilling to me and moving and leaving Michigan. So, wow, that is a beautiful story.
Gina, let me continue that story for just a second because it's making me, you're giving me butterflies and I don't think I've ever shared this because it's so vulnerable. Mm. So I left the boat, I called a dear friend and he's like, you're doing the right thing. Because immediately you think, why does it seem like everybody else is having so much fun and yet I'm jumping off this boat and going. So I ended up, was going to go to another party with some people that weren't partying as hard. And I pulled up to that party and turned around and went home, cracked a non-alcoholic beer, grabbed a cigar, and spent the 4th of July by myself, all in my emotions and feelings. And it was the craziest anxiety, but excitement that I've ever had. And saying this right now, I don't know if we're going to do video, but saying this is bringing the gag reflux all the way up because that's hard. It was hard, man, because all you want to do at that point is just fit in and be loved and be like everybody else. But you know, if you do, you go back to square one. Mm. So I sat in my stuff and I cried and I got through it. And the next day I woke up and I was happy to be sober and grateful to be sober and grateful to go to the gym and grateful that I didn't, that I made those choices. So it was incredibly hard that day. And now my friends won't even call me to go out because I'm going to say no. I value sleep. I value winning. And that is the ultimate self-love. Nothing is going to get in my way of winning. Nothing. Winning is more fun than fun is fun, but you have to make right choices to win. And it's not going to be drinking, drugging, staying out all night, rocking it out. Now, granted, I still party with the best of them now, but I'm going to end my party around 12, maybe 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock's the latest. And the best part is everybody's drunk and I don't even have to say goodbye. I just walk out. And then they say, hey, what time did you leave? And I just go, oh, you were drunk. And I just laugh. And the painful part about it, Gina, is that I love a lot of these people. And you see why they drink and they think I'm judging them, but I'm not. I just make the choice. I don't care what other people do. I'm going to talk about it. If you want help, in my book, it's my email address. You can Google me. I'm always available. I will help you, but it's going to start with discipline and making hard choices. The moment you won't make those hard choices, you don't want it bad enough. Don't waste my time.
Epic. And I think that it's absolutely the medicine that people really need, because we can get into this victim-y mind place of like, oh, but my friends are, and I can't tell you, it's probably the biggest hurdle that even some of my clients have to get over, is they need to feel the conviction of choosing and that they love themselves enough to not say, oh, I don't want to be an inconvenience. I don't want to disturb the party. I want to be part of the fun. I don't, you know, and there's these every reasons to stay in our victim-y place. And so I so appreciate your willingness to draw the line and say, you either will do this for yourself or you just don't care.
Well, it's what you're saying. And I stole this from my friend, Mike Diamond, the microwave mindset. I'm going to introduce you to Mike. He's big into the gut health relationship. Cool. Super nice guy in LA, just wrote a book, A Dose of Positivity. Amazing man. I love him dearly. We've become close friends, but he called it the microwave mindset. We are an instant gratification, dopamine hit society right now. And I'm saying, if you just delay it, you'll have 10x dopamine. Because when I'm jumping on a plane and I walk out of the, and I walk into my house that's on the water in Florida, because I made the tough choice to refrain from alcohol, the smile, the relief, the gratitude. I will tell you, once you get to the other side, you have so much gratitude, it feels like anxiety sometimes.
It's the weirdest thing. Awesome.
I'll be like, why am I anxious? And it's, I'm so grateful that I'm,
you're like high on it. You're like
get out of
high
bed.
On gratitude.
I was sitting here meditating before you came on and I was anxious. I thought I was anxious. Nope. I just was so excited to exchange energies with you. It's why when you come into town, we're going to do one in person at my studio. And we're going to really exchange energy. And that, I love it. I love people. I not only do I love myself, I love people and I love to help. And I just want I hate it that there's only 1% of the people figure this out. I want it to be 1% hasn't figured it out and it to be 99% of the people happy. These ain't jokes. This is real life. We live every day. Why not live it present?
Hell yeah. I want to get deeper into those moments, because I think there's a ton of value and wisdom in there, that when you had those moments of choosing yourself, it can be the most uncomfortable thing. And there's so much growth on the other side of it. Like, you actually start to build this high off of choosing yourself. But I think what you said was so valuable about really connecting and not numbing out from the pain of that, but actually letting the pain of it move through you and feeling this wide radical range of emotions of the sadness, probably some of the fear, probably some of the gratitude, all the different range of emotions. And I think there's as we're making these changes, I think it's really easy to want to even check out and mentally willpower our way through how deep some of these feelings are and what strength that shows from you. And I think especially for other men, it can be very inspiring to show when we stay checked into our experience, how much power there is in feeling whatever comes up. Like, what was it like? Especially because you said about a year and a half later was the hardest. So when those moments come in that are really testing you, I think sometimes when we feel that pain and that resistance, we think, it shouldn't be there. And we don't lean into the pain and the discomfort of the temptations of the hard times. So when you were saying like a year and a half later was the hardest, what was it like in that space where you had some moments to make a decision and you probably, you know, you paused and you wanted to, very tempted to go back to your old ways. What was it like in that space?
Are you in my head? that was a great question. And you're absolutely right. It's like when we do anything first, when we first learn to walk, you know, you crawl and you take a few steps and you fall and it's uncomfortable. And, you know, if you start a new training regimen or a new exercise or a new diet, it's uncomfortable at first, but the more and more and more you do it, you exercise your reticular activating system, your RAS, and then you realize it becomes subconscious. So now I make these decisions without even thinking of them. But you just nailed a few of them where it through my journaling practice, that's why I do all that I do. I'm able to write down my thoughts, get them out of my head and realize I believe the universe is conspiring to make me happy. I do. But it's going to test you all the time to make sure that you're paying attention and that you really want it. Because I tell you, it was 15 months into my not drinking that it threw me the hardest test I've ever had. My ex-girlfriend and my ex-wife got together, made up some lies and got my daughter taken away from me. It was the pandemic hit. We lost our biggest customer. I mean, it was like, there were five things that hit me at the same time. And I looked over at my scotch. I keep a full bar at both houses. I still entertain. Again, I don't have a problem saying no to alcohol. I just choose. And I looked over at my scotch, which was my drink of choice when I drank. And I said, nobody will know, but I'll know. And that was one of the very few times where I had to fight the urge to drink. Mm-hmm. And had I drank, all hell would have broke loose. I wouldn't be here today. I carry a gun on me all the time. I would have been over drunk at my ex-wife's house with my gun blazing. I would have been in jail and lost my daughter. And end up being I won every single piece of every single court case and proved that I was true. And it made me, everything happens for you, not to you. It made me take the next level up. So when life tests you, it's trying to take you to the next level.
Do you really want this?
If you pass that test, I hired this hypnotherapist. She did the ceremony where Big Kelly was with Little Kelly, with Big stepfather and mother. And it was so emotional over Zoom. As we're doing lockdown, I remember it was mid-April 2020, and Big Kelly looked at stepfather and said, "How could you do that to him? He's just a little boy." And I burst out in tears and MF'd him and said, "I should freaking kill." The things that came out of my mouth were so violent. And if it would have really happened, I probably would have murdered him. But after that, the weight of the world was off my shoulders, and the wins started massively happening one after another.
Wow.
We were able to rebuild NTM during the pandemic. I implemented EOS. I hired a bunch of new people. I got my work wife who runs NTM now, and she looks at life the same way. She grew up the same way I did, and we are a killer team. She allows me the freedom to do what I'm doing now with the passion project of Harder Than Life. And the winning has not stopped 3 years later. So I would tell you, when life gets tough, you got to keep going because it's the next level. And I said it earlier, with different levels comes different devils.
Yes.
And right now I'm in another one of these funks. I don't know what. And then what does life do? It introduces me to you. I believe the next thing is ayahuasca. And I don't eat poorly, but I need to eat more fuel. I burn, as you can tell, I'm high energy.
Yeah.
We're going to do your amazing program, and you're going to devise me a diet so that I can run at 150% because I want to run at 150. Most people want to get 100 or even 75. I want to go 150 all the time. And I don't think I take in enough good calories. So that's in the universe, when you create space for people and things, it will fill it. Now, if you're not loving yourself, it will fill it with negativity and vices. You let it, you gotta push that stuff away and say, "Oh, heck no." And that's, going where you're celebrated, not tolerated, and understanding that life may get a little boring, but it's going to get a lot longer and you're going to have a lot less chaos. I absolutely have zero drama in my life. Zero.
Well, and you also said too, that like when you went from a place of like partying might be fun, but there's almost a numbness. And when you started loving yourself and creating a space from yourself, you started radically feeling. And I think when we start radically feeling, we actually feel, like you said, the highs, you feel everything so much more. That
wait. Feelings are healing.
Yeah.
Feeling is healing. So I got all these little sayings, but they work.
Yes.
I just gotta do the work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also want to point that out, because you were sharing how a pivotal moment for your growth, how your business expanded, your life expanded, everything expanded when you went into the rage and the anger with your stepfather and this, like this holding on in this unhealed part. And I think a lot of people are trying to out positivity either way to the best version of themselves. And you're like, no, I turned around and I looked that beast in the face and went into my rage and my anger. And that's when everything exploded. And I think that especially I think men and women, I think everyone needs to have the safety to know, yes, that is the path. You don't have to out positive and good feeling your way to everything, but really go into that beast in the darkness and that's when everything just expands.
Well, you've heard the story about it being a buffalo. The buffaloes go right into the storm. Mm. Cows turn around and run away, and they're actually in the storm longer. So
I love that. Are you the buffalo or the cow?
Be the buffalo and run right into it. Sometimes you get in trouble. Sometimes it's but the universe isn't going to hand you anything that you can't handle. Yeah. Now, it is, you know, those feelings get intense, but you will not die. and as you face those feelings time and time again, they get less and less. And all it is just go, oh, there's that feeling. That's, he wants to drink, or he wants to go party, or he needs love. And guess who gives it to him? Me. And that's just your inner child screaming, I need something. Sit in there, feel it, and give that inner child what it needs. And if you do that enough times, more often than not, after a little bit of time, it'll stop screaming because you gave it what it needs.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, though, I used to have a chip on my shoulder, and it created massive success financially. So I've kind of lost that a little bit. So I manifest that a little. Like, have you ever seen The Water Boy with Adam yes. Sandler? And he makes up the things in his head. Don't talk about my mama. Why does it like that? So I start making up. I create things like, they don't want you to succeed, and they don't, and they're trying to keep you down. And it motivates me. Mm. I no longer have to grit through anything, anything. So life is so good. Wow. I say it over, I end all of my journals with, life is so good.
Wow. And this is the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful example. You are walking, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk of what I am striving for, which is tapping into that power that I know I'm capable of, the growth that I have when I do hard things, and doing it from joy and gratitude and mindfulness, and looking at the places that need to be healed at the same time, and not doing it from just a place of beating ourselves down through discipline, but really elevating ourselves. So I really appreciate your message and everything that you teach and what you preach. There's a lot of big old meatheads out there that do not actually teach the message of,
are you calling me a meathead?
No,
people,
it's you're so more funny. Than just a meathead.
People, you know how many people say that to me, that when they first meet me, or they don't know me. And then they talk to me like, whoa, we didn't expect that. Yeah. I'm pretty smart. I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm well read. I'm well educated. I grew up in the mean streets of Warren. You know, I have that rare thing. I guess you could tell I'm real humble. I have that rare thing where I have street smarts and book smarts, but I just won't stop. I continue to grow. I am addicted to the expansion of my being and helping others. And I just, you know, I always laugh. I don't like crabs in a bucket. Nobody's going to pull me down. I'm going to pull everybody up.
Hell yeah.
If a crab tries to pull me down, I'm going to pull them up.
Yeah. I'm going to pull them up with me.
At some point, though, I got no problems dropping. And that used to be the problem. You can offer all these habits and tricks. And if somebody's not ready, they will not do it, but they will. The reverse is true. They will pull you down. So you got to be careful, because it's like going up to someone who's drowning. If they're drowning, they tell you, if someone's drowning, you got to be careful because they will drown you. So if you're going to help somebody, I give them simple and easy tasks. What do I want you to do today? Go to the gym. And if they start making excuses, I don't know what to do. I can't do it. I don't have time. They're not ready. If they say, what do I do? Go do 10 minutes on the treadmill, 10 minutes on the bike. Take a picture, send it to me. Don't give me these excuses. There's time, and I just gave you your workout routine. Take a picture of that, send it back to me. You do it, I'll take you to the next step.
Hell yeah.
And those are the simplest and easy things. And it's just honoring and showing that you want something better for your life.
I love that you said I'm addicted to my own growth. And I think, what would it be like if we were addicted to our own, to having our own back, loving ourselves, our own growth? What choices would we make with conviction versus like, oh, I have to, I don't want to, I don't have time, every excuse in the world. What would we do if we had so much conviction that we were addicted to our own selves and our growth? Like, I love that you use that word. That's a great addiction.
I'll tell you full disclosure and vulnerability about something that hurts my heart and my soul, is to watch people make bad decision after bad decision that I love dearly. And I pick on drinking a lot because it's the biggest thing that most people do. And when I see someone that is absolutely a stud and a badass in life, and they have an unhealthy relationship with alcohol. And an unhealthy relationship with alcohol is one where you get drunk. You can drink. I'm not saying don't drink at all. I choose not to. That's my choice. But if you down a bottle of wine in a setting, or a half a bottle of scotch, that's an unhealthy relationship. If you're consistently getting drunk, you're just numbing something. It's so much cheaper and so much easier to figure out why. What is it that you, the feeling that you don't want to have? And everybody always says this, well, it's what everybody does. No, and everybody doesn't. Because I go out and I will rock it out with the best of them. I was in Fort Lauderdale with some buddies and I was out till 5 a.m. and they're like, how are you sober? I go, how are you drunk? I'm not judging.
Yep.
I just want to experience life. And I have, you know, I have more fun sober or not drinking than I ever had. Ever. And I reach in my pocket, too. I got a full wad of cash.
Yeah.
I don't have to apologize. I know where my cars are. And everyone says, I don't have that problem. And I just go, just keep on the path. And boy, the universe, that's what karma is. The universe has a way of evening things out, and it'll just be horrible. Because and I'm grateful. I look back. I didn't hurt anybody or anything. I didn't get DUIs. I did get arrested for selling drugs in college. I look back. Hindsight's 20/20. The universe gives you signs. You just got to pay attention to them. It's like your parents giving you advice that we all ignore. My uncle. Who my father died 25 years ago. My uncle filled in for him and he tried, I looked back and I said, man, if I had just listened to any of your advice, life would have been so much easier. He was right.
Yeah.
With experience comes wisdom and wise people learn from other people's mistakes. Man, I've been there. I've done that. You cannot out-party me, whether drinking or not. I've been there. I wrote the book. I bought the t-shirt. And I'm moving on, and now I choose this. If it was so much better over there, drinking and partying, I still would be there.
Hell yeah. I agree. I think life gets better and better. I was never really a big drinker, but every once in a while in my life, just the more, I went to college, okay? But I've never EMU, really been
of course you partied.
Of course, I did a little bit, but I rarely... maybe once every 6 months would have a drink. And when I did, I'd be like, man, this like now. And I'd be like, I just isn't feeling, there is a numbness. And I feel so much more connected and alive without it.
I think a little deeper in there, because I've done a lot of work on myself. I've been every therapist, everything I try. And everybody liked Drunk Kelly. He was superhuman. He was super amazing. Well, guess what? Everybody likes Sober Kelly, including me. I didn't like Drunk Kelly. Everybody else did. I didn't. Yeah. I hated myself. I would walk by mirrors and shake my head. And at the very end, I would look at myself in the mirror when I was drinking, like, you got to stop this. You got to stop this. And I'll bet you that's going on for other people listening to this right now. And it's the same thing, whether it's food, whether it's sex, whether it's gambling, whether it's drugs, whether it's work. Insert crutch here, and we got to work on that. And it's masks. They call them masks for a reason. You're masking something. Let's dig to the root of what that is. You know, they say you don't like the fruit, address the root. So it's not that difficult to figure out what it is. And frankly, most people know. Listen. For 9 years prior, my therapist said to me, quit drinking. That was my weekly sessions were just quit drinking. Just quit drinking. I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get it. What are you talking about? He's like, you'll take over the world. Well, this is me taking over the world. I'm started. So let the world notice I'm coming. Hell's coming with me with a lot of positive energy.
Yes.
I have some bad intentions. When I mean bad, I mean good. Because I'm going to disrupt what the normal is, because in our minds, we should not believe. It is our ego that's meant to protect us. My ego said, Kelly, you're not safe. You cannot survive. You've got to drink because that's what your parents did. You had to be like them so you didn't get your butt kicked by them. I found that when I drank with my stepfather at 9, he liked me more. 9 years old, cracking a beer, being drunk. And I went, oh, this is camaraderie. He's not going to kick my ass if I'm drinking. So boom, fast forward 20 years and the rest is history. So there's always a reason.
Yep.
Just got to get to the bottom of it. Wow. And I will help anybody get started if they just reach out. And that's what this is for.
I adore your energy and what you really teach to people. It really speaks to my heart and what I believe so much in. I want to hear more about what is in your book. Tell me about your book. Sounds incredible. Get super real.
So this book, and listen, I don't say any, it's getting easier and easier to say these God awful things that happened to me. I don't say them because I want sympathy or empathy. I say them so people understand what I overcame to be harder than life. This sounds so twisted and woo-woo-y, but every single thing that happened to me bad was for me. The things don't happen to you, they happen for you. So my stepfather was a big guy, 6'2", 265 pounds. I couldn't take him on. So I started lifting heavily. Now I'm a bigger guy and I'm approachable by everybody. Everybody comes up to talk to me. So I love people. So that opens me doors that it doesn't open for everybody else. I happen to be tougher than most people and nobody's that was ever going to hurt me. Another instance in the book is my stepfather and my mother, used to drink heavily and then they'd get into fights. Boy, that sounds familiar. I think that's exactly what I was doing with my girlfriends and why I stopped drinking. So anyways, I repeated what they did. Stupid. And they couldn't go out drinking together because they'd fight. So they'd sleep in separate rooms. And she was so insane. She would come home drunk and want to fight with him. So he would lock himself in this door and he would pee in a pee jar because he didn't want to come out because he didn't want. She stabbed him one time when I was a kid, stabbed him. It was insane the things that my sister and I had to deal with. And if they couldn't beat on each other, they'd beat on us. And then my sister got out. She was 9 years older than me. Long story short is he used to pee in a pee jar so he didn't have to come out. And my job every day was to empty the pee jar and make his bed and basically do everything to make sure his life was I was a slave. I know that's not a good word to say, but I was there not to be a kid. I was never a kid. I never had a childhood. I get to relive it through my daughter. I was there to wait on him hand and foot. So I emptied the pee jar and every once in a while I'd forget because I was a kid that had a life that played sports because I wanted to stay out of that house as much as I could because it was scary. And I was a straight A student and I would forget. And when I'd forget, he'd take the top off of it and throw it on my bed. So he'd create more work for me. So sick and twisted Kelly says, okay, fast forward to owning National Technology Management. Listen, if I don't do the job the first time, I'm not going to have time. It's going to get harder to do it the second time, because then I have to clean my bed and empty the jar and go put it back. And I just created more work. So it's a long and sick and twisted way of, I'm not a perfectionist, but I expect perfection and I land on excellence. And I give myself that grace that you talked about earlier that says, hey, you can't achieve perfection, but if I aim for it and I hit on excellence, I'm doing pretty damn good. And I celebrate that. And I'm grateful for that. And I like those wins. And there's a lot of those, in the book. So what happened was I sat during the pandemic and said, okay, again, something happening for me. I got to get these thoughts out of my head. Now that I feel better because I had released this and I've forgiven them, I had the strength to put this stuff out in the world and say, it's disgusting. Who wants to say they emptied a pee jar? And then my stepfather drowned me one time and almost killed me. There were so many times that they just punch me in the face. My mom beat the living crap out of me on my ninth or 10th birthday. I mean, almost killed me. I missed school. The only day I missed school because she gouged out my eye and I couldn't go to school. Felt that love. So it was survival of the fittest. And I survived. I got out of that. I got educated. I mean, I did go to Western Michigan University, the party school of Michigan. So, you know, and part of that was a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And everything was a lesson. And I believe that if I went back and changed any part of that, I wouldn't be standing in front of you and saying all these lessons. And now I'm going to help as many freaking people as I possibly can. And I love the fact that I can help teenagers. All of my daughter's friends follow me, and I'm going to set the model and set the example of what a leader, what a father, and what life is supposed to look like.
Yes. Hell yes. And I think it's so inspiring for people to realize that their difficulty, their challenge right now is it's creating their story. And it you could have went into a victim place if I came from a bad family and gone down that path. And you chose for this to be your platform for like the human that you are today. So thank you so much for your vulnerability and being willing to share your story. And I think your book is going to be such a beautiful, everything you do is an inspiring way for people to see that their challenge is, can be turned in and transformed into their strength. So thank you for that.
What shameless plug real quick.
We hit
Amazon number one bestseller in the first week. No surprise. But it's really interesting. So I want to read the dedication. It said, to my sister, Lisa, who saved me from many savage beatings. Oh. I would not be here today without your courage to stand up to our mother and our stepfather. You are the strong one. To my daughter, Ariana, you are my why. Darling, the cycle stops with us. I love you dearly. To anyone going through tough times, you are not alone and you are harder than life. That exemplifies what my mantra is. And my daughter, my sister, I love very much. Lisa, I love you. Saved my life many, many times. She was 9 years older than me. And when she lived in the house, she was the brunt of the many beatings until she had to leave. And she was so scared to death that they were going to kill me and would check on me and save my life on my birthday that one time because my mom was going to kill me. She still lives in South Warren, lives as best life as she can. She didn't escape, but lives with her husband and lives a pretty good life. But I can tell you that not many people live the amazing life that I live, but it's intentional.
Wow. Thank you. The dedication is beautiful and like make me cry. It's really beautiful. And your whole story is very moving. Thank you so much. I'd love to share what you're up to, how people can find you, you said that your book is on Amazon. Tell me everything, where you are, what you're up to. I know you're doing a lot of this just because it's your heart and soul and you're donating to charities. I want to hear all about those.
I'm passionate about charities, children's charities, because I wish I had the courage as a child to get out of there. My sister tried to get me out, but you feel like that's all you know. There's no contrast. You feel like that's normal, and you'd get in so much trouble if you went to the social services and said, I'm being abused. It's the familiar pain over the unfamiliar gain, so to speak. So I'd rather be beat and with my mother and my stepfather than being with some strangers that you don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. So I stuck with it. And what I'm going to do is we're going to donate to charity, children's charities, a portion of every dollar that comes in. So we have a website, harderthanlife.com. And on there, you'll be able to buy some merchandise soon. That's coming soon, but we can buy the book. We can subscribe to the podcast, which we do weekly. We've had two podcasts out, which were impactful and powerful. We bring up people on that exemplify harder than life in some form, shape, or form. And the big thing I want to do is start doing speaking engagements, keynote speaking, inspirational speaking, motivational speaking. And it's going to be exactly what we just talked about, how to live your life the right way and how to overcome the impossible odds and be harder than life. I only scratched the surface with some of this stuff. While writing the book, I called my sister and I said, this is what I remember. And she would say, that's it. You don't remember the rest. And it's some of it, you just trauma block out. So it'll be a good story and it's yet to be written because it's to be determined how much we're going to donate to charity. And I manifest big dollars to be able to donate. And the work isn't done. Everyone said, you should be proud that the podcast is a success and the book is a success and you're going to start booking speaking engagements. But until we write the check at the end of the year, the job is not done. And we will grind until we get there. Second is the first loser. It's time to go. And eventually, I want to get to the point where we're donating $1 million to charity. Amazing. That's what my goal is. So help me. You go to harderthanlife.com. You go to kelly.siegel. It's spelled kelly.siegel.71 at Instagram. That's where we're mostly at. We're on LinkedIn. We're all over. Stop by, see what I'm up to. We need to get as many subscribers as we can so we can start advertising and donating. Really, that's all we're trying to do. Same thing you're doing.
Incredible. Kelly, thank you so much for this just amazing hour, your wisdom, your story. Is there anything else you want to leave people with? Leave that last mark.
Yeah. I love Ram Dass's quote. It's up in my room. It says, love everyone and tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And then I add to be awesome and kind. This is a good world and most people are good. Let's figure out what we agree on, which is everyone deserves the right to pursue happiness. And let's work together and communicate like we learned in kindergarten and don't worry about the left and the right. And let's work together, communicate, and make this world a better place.
Amazing. Kelly, thank you so much. Listeners, I hope you just enjoyed this today. Definitely, if you're inspired, check out Kelly's book. Check out his Instagram. I've been following him on Instagram. Beautiful, inspiring things. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you are left more inspired, ready to fight for yourself, love yourself harder, and we'll see you next time.